The 2019 legislative session has finally arrived. Governor Doug Ducey will be delivering his State of the State address today, January 14th. He rejected any calls for tax increases and promised the state would spend within its means during his inaugural address. What will be different about today? Water will no doubt get a shout out. The state has 18 days to meet a federal deadline to adopt the drought contingency plan, and everyone is feeling the pressure. You're listening to The Breakdown. Hey there, listeners, and happy opening day. I'm your host, Katie Campbell, and I'm here with reporters Carmen Foreman and Ben Giles. And we've also brought along our new intern, Holly Bernstein. Welcome, Holly.
Yay.
Hi.
Heyo. Well, team, here we are at the opening day of the 2019 legislative session. There's no going back now. Are we excited or what?
Yeah.
Hear that excitement. Feel it. It's just all in your bones. Today, though, the governor still gets the spotlight. He'll be delivering his fifth State of the State address to kick off his second term in office. Carmen, you got to sit down with him last week. Did he give you any idea of what we can expect from his speech later today?
Well, I think it's safe to say you can expect the governor to talk a lot about water in his State of the State speech today. I think that's going to be one of his top priorities. He's going to address it quite a bit. His main focus is to pass the DCP, or for the state to adopt the multi-state DCP. And what comes along with that is sort of an interstate agreement that will outline which Arizona water users will face cutbacks over the next few years as Arizona draws less water out of Lake Mead and the Colorado River. So that's going to be a big priority. Other priorities, you can probably guess a lot of these. Let's be real. The governor is going to focus on finishing out the 20 by 2020 plan. I think the way the governor put it to me is that he foresees no problems in putting another increment of the teacher pay raises into the budget this year and getting that budget passed.
20 for 2020 is going to be our continuing priority. We're halfway there, but we need responsible and prudent budgeting in 2019 and 2020 so that we can fulfill and protect our commitment to the teachers, and the teachers have earned and deserved that raise.
We didn't talk too much about this, but the governor mentioned on the campaign trail that he wants to get rid of legislative immunity. He brought that up right after former Representative Mosley was pulled over for speeding, going more than 40 miles an hour over the speed limit. As you remember, he claimed legislative immunity, and the governor used that as an opportunity to basically say, we need to get rid of this. There's no reason that lawmakers should have this special privilege anymore. The governor did not exactly detail in our interview how he is going to get the lawmakers on board with ditching their own special privilege, but I have a good feeling that he's got some creative ideas about how to go about it.
Perhaps seeing some certain former lawmakers trotted out in a walk of shame?
That was my idea. We don't know yet if the governor liked it.
Only time will tell, I suppose. You also talked to him about another hot topic this year, charter school reform. What does he think needs to be done in that arena, and how far would be too far for him?
To be perfectly honest, Governor Ducey was pretty vague when it came to charter school reform. He wouldn't exactly say how far he's willing to go on charter school reform. And he does say that basically all schools have room for reform, both districts and charters. So I would say you can expect him to look into that this year. I don't think he's specifically going to be pushing any charter school reform, but he will potentially be open to other lawmakers who want to reform charter schools.
We're always going to be focusing on education, and I think we've got room for improvement in our system of education here in Arizona. I've worked hard to not separate out districts from charters. What I want parents to do is to have a choice and choose what's best for their children. So I think when this issue comes up, we're talking about finances, accountability, and transparency, among other things. But I think it's best to get smart people around a table and talk about what this should look like going forward, and then move the appropriate legislation forward.
So maybe more open to something like Representative Kelly Townsend has proposed as far as making their meetings subject to open meeting laws, maybe a little less excited over some financial reform options.
Exactly, yeah. And going back to water just for a minute, Governor Ducey really stressed in his interview that the DCP isn't the end. And by DCP, I mean drought contingency plans for those of you who have been living under a rock for the past few months. That's not the end of what he wants to do on water. He would not exactly give specifics, but it's safe to say that the governor is thinking long term when it comes to water. As many people know, just putting more water back into Lake Mead is not going to solve the problem because the drought is going to keep going and there's going to be less and less water in the Colorado River over the next years, decades, into the foreseeable future. So Ducey is already thinking about sort of, I think the way he called it was a generational project that could get the ball rolling during his second term and then maybe finish, you know, a decade from now or whatever, to do more on water and to conserve more water. And so some of the examples he gave were the Roosevelt Dam project. He gave the Central Arizona project, the creation of CAP, which was a very long process. He cited both of those as sort of generational projects that he sort of had in mind and could be an idea of what could come next.
Water is not the only thing that the legislature has a deadline on. People need to be filing their taxes by April 15th, and the issue of tax conformity is still very much out there. It seems that the governor and the Republicans are on the same page about we're going to conform, but beyond that, there's a little bit of a disagreement. How is that shaping up, Carmen?
Well, some Republicans in the legislature, they want to conform, but they want to give that conformity money back to the taxpayers because essentially these taxpayers are going to see smaller refunds than they were expecting unless the state conforms and gives money back. But the governor is looking a few years out when there may or may not be some sort of recession or economic downturn. And his idea is that he wants the state to conform to the federal tax changes in the tax code. And then he wants to take that extra money. It's upwards of about $180 million. And some have specified that it's between $180 million and about $225 million. So a big chunk of change. And he wants to put that money in the state's rainy day fund, basically like an in case of emergencies fund. There's obviously some competing interests there. But when I talked to the governor last week, he didn't really take no for an answer on tax conformity and the rainy day fund. He just said, this is what's going to happen. The end.
We're going to conform and we're not going to raise taxes. And I'm going to negotiate with the legislature and leaders on the most responsible path going forward.
So, Ben, to further complicate matters, the Arizona Department of Revenue is apparently already starting to send out forms assuming that conformity has been adopted.
Yeah, our esteemed member of the Fourth Estate, fellow member, I should say, Howie Fisher, reported last week that the Department of Revenue, at the direction of the governor's office, has been sending out tax information to Arizona residents, assuming that the governor's version of conformity is the plan that's going to get adopted by lawmakers. That did not sit well with some GOP leaders. Newly elected state senator J.D. Mesnard actually urged Arizonans to not file your taxes. I repeat, he said, don't file your taxes. The fear being that if they do file in accordance with the guidance that DOR is giving per Doug Ducey's office, that they might need to amend their taxes because there is no settlement yet between the ninth floor and the legislature about what conformity is going to look like. And if the legislature adopts something that doesn't align with Ducey's plans, that could screw up tax returns. So the sooner that they reach an agreement on that, the better for Arizona taxpayers. But it's probably not terrible advice at this point to maybe sit on those filings, at least until there's some certainty about what's going to happen between the legislature and Ducey.
And who knows when that will come. We'll also be hearing more from Ben in the second half of this episode about some other areas the legislative Republicans and the governor aren't quite seeing eye to eye on. But Carmen, just to get back to you, was there anything else that stood out in your interview that was new from Ducey or that gave us even the slightest hint of what he might be doing new this year?
Well, I did ask him what the most unexpected part of his legislative agenda would be. And he paused for about 15 seconds and didn't answer. So that gives me a hint that there's going to be something fun in his state as a state speech that we're not expecting. But speaking of things that we are expecting, school safety plan is going to come back. It will still include the stop orders, the severe threat orders of protection that were such a point of contention among National Rifle Association-backed Republicans. They really didn't like the idea of somebody feeling unsafe and being able to go to a judge and say, I think this person A, who goes to this school or is a teacher at the school or whatever, I think that they could be a danger to themselves or others, so you should go to their house and have a court order and take their guns away. Republicans didn't like that. But Ducey's not changing his plan, at least as far as he mentioned. It sounds like it's coming back the same form as last year. And his hope is that because it's less of a hot topic, less of a politicized issue than it was last year right after the Parkland shooting, that he'll have a better chance of getting it through the legislature and getting it to pass.
I think it's safe to say we can also expect something on the criminal justice front from him. Doug Ducey has taken on recidivism reform as something he really cares about, that he wants to make a difference in, because that helps the economy of Arizona, obviously very important to him. And as you were talking, something really stood out to me in his comments. He was really pleased with Bill Montgomery and really clearly looking to him for some guidance in this realm. He was talking about needing to meet with Montgomery as well as his counterpart in Yavapai County, Sheila Polk. He said he saw an op-ed in our paper, actually, that Bill Montgomery wrote that just absolutely wowed the governor, apparently, and really gave him something to think about what that something is. We're going to have to wait till this afternoon, but certainly some very kind words for the Maricopa County attorney, Bill Montgomery. So curious to see what that holds for his future. Now, we've been talking almost exclusively about the Republicans. Obviously, we have a Republican governor, and the Republicans do remain in the majority in both chambers at the legislature. But our intern, Holly Bernstein, had a chance to catch up with some Democrats at the inauguration ceremony. Holly, what did they have to tell you about what they were hearing that day?
One of the most bipartisan issues that I heard from both sides, but particularly from Democrats, was, you know, the water crisis. You know, the deadline is January 31st. So that's one issue that they were, you know, keen to, you know, get a head start on. But another thing that I asked them about was the budget surplus, which Ducey did talk about in his speech. And, you know, some Democrats said that that money from the surplus should go towards funding education and, you know, getting more resources for education. So that's another thing that they said as well. And then a lot of them were also concerned about, you know, efficiency in voting. So there are a couple issues across the line where they, you know, pointed towards. So I say overall, like, the three main things were, you know, water, you know, voting, and then also education.
None of those a particular surprise, but you talked about how Ducey mentioned the surplus in his speech, but his message was we're not spending beyond our means. What Republicans heard between the lines was we aren't going to go on a spending spree. We're going to put money away into the rainy day fund. We're going to address debt that the state has. That doesn't sound like a lot of extra money for education. Did Democrats say anything about what they were hearing from that side?
That's one thing that I did ask Democrats. I asked Alma Hernandez and Raquel Turan those questions. You know, how much money do they anticipate being taken from the surplus and being put into education? And none of them could really give me an exact answer on the spot, but they said they were hoping to kind of push for that in this upcoming session.
They always are so hopeful, but we will have to wait and see exactly what the governor is willing to budge on and how much he will actually give to that cause. Coming up next, we're going to talk about one Republican's idea for how exactly to address the education funding issue and the reception that plan is getting so far. Stay with us. Can't wait for your weekly Arizona Capital Times? Then subscribe to the Yellow Sheet Report. The Yellow Sheet Report brings you the latest news and hottest political gossip in town every day, thanks to our trusty team of reporters. And with the legislative session right around the corner, there's no better time than now to get in the know with the Yellow Sheet Report. Learn more at yellowsheetreport.com today. Welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm your host, Katie Campbell, and I'm here now with reporter Ben Giles to talk about a plan put forth by Republican Senator Sylvia Allen. Ben, what is she proposing exactly to help the education system?
She wants your tax money, people. And no, seriously, she wants your tax money. And that is kind of a shocker. Senator Sylvia Allen is one of the more conservative Republicans at the legislature. As new Senate President Karen Fan told me last week, nine times out of 10, if it has to do with raising taxes or increasing revenues in any way, Sylvie Allen is not the person you go to get that done. She'll vote against it. In fact, it was less than 2 years ago in 2017 when, as for years, people have been saying at the Capitol, there's a need for more money for education. Sylvie Allen penned an op-ed in the Arizona Republic that said, when is enough enough, essentially? We're already giving you a huge piece of the budget pie, so to speak. We're already putting a lot of money towards education. When's enough for you people? And now she's actually acknowledging that what the state can provide isn't enough. And that's pretty significant because I talked to some folks who have been beating that drum for more education funding, for new revenues for education funding. And to have someone like Allen put forward this plan, it really shifts the conversation away from that fight of we need more money to, is this enough? Is this the right way to do it? Some are going to suggest that maybe a sales tax isn't the most fair way to raise revenues. The Invest in Ed movement last year tried to get a measure on the ballot that would have raised income taxes. I know that they still favor that idea, but there's some pretty good Republican support already out there for some version of Allen's plan. Senator Kate Brophy McGee has spent the last 8 months working with Representative Michelle Udall to actually meet with education leaders in community colleges and universities, superintendents and local school districts to talk about what they can do to raise new revenue. And she's also settled on a penny sales tax. That's going to be a bill that she drops probably later this week. And we'll see some differences in the way that Brophy McGee and Allen want to split the pie of what's estimated to be about $1.1 billion that a penny would generate for education. And that's where the fight's going to be. It's going to be over who gets what and what are they allowed to spend it on.
Well, and I imagine there's going to be a fight at some level about just the simple fact they're asking for a tax increase. The governor said explicitly in his inaugural address that he is going to reject any calls for tax increases. How are they going to get through that?
Well, they don't need Ducey to raise taxes in this case because, as most of our listeners probably know, the legislature just flat out doesn't vote to raise taxes. There's a rule in Arizona's constitution about raising new revenues that says if you're going to do that, you need a two-thirds majority vote of both chambers and the governor's signature to do so. That's not going to happen. I talked to Senate President Karen Fan about that, and she said, I'd love to do that, but the political reality is we probably don't have the votes. So whatever lawmakers always do, they leave it up to voters. And that's kind of like a put up or shut up dare, so to speak. You know, Allen has argued in the past that voters don't want new taxes. In this case, she's kind of saying, I've been hearing that you wouldn't mind paying some higher taxes for education specifically, so kind of prove it. The bill that she's put forward is actually a legislative referral that would send this question of hiking a 0.6 cent sales tax up to a full penny, and that question would be on the ballot in 2020. And what that means is it doesn't need Governor Ducey's signature. Those sorts of referrals just get transferred right to the Secretary of State and on from there.
Even if they don't need his signature, though, I imagine the governor is a pretty problematic opponent in this sort of situation. Having him put him and his money out there saying, yeah, let's not do this.
Yeah, and that's the big if. Assuming a plan like this does get through, and I do expect in some shape or form it will get through. Just counting votes in the Senate right now, there's enough people between presumably Democrats and a few Republicans who would support it that this could get out of that chamber and maybe the House. The question is, does Ducey campaign against something like this? While he was state treasurer, he famously campaigned against the permanent renewal of a penny sales tax that was passed during the Great Recession. And he's warned business leaders who floated an idea of raising this sales tax for education via the ballot. He's explicitly warned them in the past, I don't want you to put something like that on the ballot. Now, that was pre-2016. Maybe his thoughts have changed a little bit on this. It'd be interesting to see what it would look like politically for the quote-unquote education governor to campaign against new revenues for education on the 2020 ballot. I don't know how that would sit. I don't know if there's political calculations that he's making about what do I do about this? But certainly supporting it would, in fact, go against his vows not to raise taxes.
So putting the governor in quite a political pickle and potentially impacting his future plans, whatever those may be. But what I'm hearing is we're already off to a fiery start. An interesting start to this session. Got a couple of battles on the horizon then. We're going to have more to talk about after today. We're going to be at the State of the State address, seeing what all of our legislators and elected officials have in store for us in the next few months. Stay tuned every Monday. Like I said last week, we are back to our normal schedule for the breakdown. We will be here to update you on legislation and all of the key ideas your elected officials come up with. So stay tuned as always.